Up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We'll be going between chapters 3 and 4. Begin reading in the first verse. As you're turning, just want to remind everyone that we have Missions Conference, or Missions Month emphasis, coming up. Our Missions Conference will be on every Sunday. We have special speakers, even beginning next week. And looking forward to that. And our missionaries coming in from all over the world, literally. So be praying for them and their travel. Looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in that month. And I would encourage you to be in prayer about it, because God does a lot of things in those missions conferences that we don't even expect. And so be in prayer for not just our young people, but for all our people, that God will speak to us. And I just have to mention a praise, and no one was asking me to do this, but Jonathan, come here. We have been praying. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I mean, when was I there, Charity? A week ago, Friday or something? Or last Thursday? You look like the mummy. And God really has really protected and is helping you heal. And you don't have to say anything. We just want to praise the Lord with you and give praise to Him for what He's done. Amen. That's all, man. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. All right. If you want to hear the story, you ask Him. All right. I heard this message a long time ago from a great preacher a long time ago, Dr. Evie Hill. And the Lord laid it on my heart this week, and no, it's not out of Corinthians, but I just felt moved that we needed to talk about it, and I'm changing the title a little bit. You may have gotten the title earlier. The title I'm giving this is A Savior You Can Trust. A Savior You Can Trust. I want you to get that in your head, because that really is the central main idea of what we're going to be looking at here in Acts chapter 4. So if you've been of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who speak to each of our hearts where we're at in our greatest need. I pray, Lord, that we will be open to your teaching and to your leading. If there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ, in the name of Christ, we pray and ask, and for your glory, not ours. Amen. Just a little historical set. shortly after this was spoken. Well, in Christ through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then we get into chapter 3 and we have this whole story of this lame man. So turn, keep your finger where you're at and just turn over one page to Acts 3. We want to find out what these Sadducees are all upset about because they're irritated. So in chapter 3, Peter and John are going about, we have a lame man from birth being carried around there in verse 2. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask for alms of those entering the temple. So here's the situation. Peter and John are about to go into the temple, verse 3 says. He asked to receive alms. And Peter directly looked at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting them to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Well, back to chapter 4, because of that great healing, we have all kinds of trouble in River City. We got some Sadducees that are very sad because they don't believe in the resurrection. And here they're proclaiming and teaching about Christ. And I don't know about you, but I kind of want my Savior to be able to overcome death. And so that's why they're sad, because the Savior they're believing in doesn't have that ability, I guess. And so they come and trouble begins. And as we read in chapter 4 there at the beginning, what is going on here? I love the phrase, they were greatly annoyed. Sometimes you know you're doing the right thing for Jesus when people get greatly annoyed. That is, if you're preaching the word. Now, I can annoy people without having anything to do with Jesus. But it's good when you are proclaiming and living the word of faith and it annoys people. It's all right. So here we have something going on. But we have this whole situation. They're upset. They throw them in jail. They can't keep them there. Well, I suppose they keep them there a while. They don't keep them there very long. And they pull them out and they say, "Okay, I want to know by what name, let it be known to all the people. What are you doing? What power? What name did you do this thing?" They can't deny the fact. They can't deny that this guy who was lame was healed. I love facts, don't you? One of the presidents, I forget which one, maybe it was Adams, "Facts are stubborn things." I think he said that. They are stubborn. They just keep getting in your way. They couldn't do anything about that. There that man was, and he was healed. So I'm telling you, there's a need for a Savior like this. This lame man is a picture of mankind. Really is. When you're reading through Acts and you see some of these stories of folks, he comes right up, and this is exactly who we are. We are a people that are helpless, in need of someone other than ourselves to get us to where we need to go, to feed us, to clothe us, to do all these things. We are desperately in need, and we can't help ourselves at all. It's a picture of mankind. Last night, late, I said, "I'm just curious what's going on in the world," like we don't know some of the things going on, right? "And what's popping up? Do you think this world needs a Savior?" So there I am looking at the continent of Africa, and I hear all these droughts that are taking place all over the place. Hundreds and hundreds of families, kids and older people dying just because of this drought. That's happening on the continent of Africa now, as are other things as well. We have war in Ukraine that's been going on for a while that seems to threaten the continent of Europe there, what's happening there in Asia as well. Then there's the threat of war as Asia itself. We've got our friends in China and our friends in North Korea are just deciding, you know, that they're wanting to flex their muscles. We don't know what's going to happen. The world needs a savior. How about, oh, in America here? I heard someone say something. I don't know. I'm just going to share it with you. You could chew on it. It says, we're the most divided we've ever been in our country since 1859. But this is a different war. It's a war for morality. The war where we'll go as a nation. Will we be a nation anymore that's one nation under God? Or will we not? It's a culture war. And it is a horrible war. It's tearing us in half. And the world even knows about it. This lame man was in this same position. He was completely dependent upon other people. If it wasn't for the grace of other people, he could starve to death. Maybe he wouldn't be picked up and taken anywhere to get help. He was forced to beg. But at the end of the day, even with all the people that could give him money, could give him food or water and food and all those things and even clothing, he still needed something more. He needed a savior. He needed a savior. He didn't see that. Did you catch that in the story? I mean, you and I walk by, we see people that are homeless, we see people that have need, we even know people that may not be out on the streets, but that have great needs, and we think, man, that person needs this. Well, they very well might need a meal, they very well might need a job, they very well might need, but that's not their greatest need. And sometimes we can get caught up thinking that is their greatest need. We ought to be out there helping and feeding the poor and helping those who are down. But the greatest need that people have is for a savior. And if all we do is feed the poor and help those who are downtrodden, but we don't give them Jesus, we've given them nothing. You need to hear that. Peter and John got it. I don't know how rich they were. Silver and gold, that was probably a lot. I don't have anything. I smell kind of funny, probably. Fisherman. But what I do have is what exactly you need. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up. Now, you know when someone has had the need they really need fulfilled. Because I've been on the other side of that. You know, maybe you have too, where you help someone. In fact, there was a guy came to our church. This is a church when I was pastoring in Danville. Came to our church, you know, and he needed some things. And he said, I'm just hungry. I need some food. Can you all help me out with that? Well, we had been around the block more than once to realize you don't give them cash. You don't know what they're going to buy. So we said, absolutely, we'll feed you. Absolutely. So we had someone, one of our deacons went back, and he went in the kitchen and just tearing in. And he fixed this guy a pretty nice meal. And on the way after the service, he gave that meal to him, and one of the parishioners there felt kind of moved to, hey, I'll take you out somewhere. So he took all that food and just threw it in the trash. Yeah. You see, it wasn't his greatest need. You know when you hit the greatest need. When you jump and you leap and you praise God. Now, if you haven't been down to the bottom, maybe you haven't experienced that yet. There's been times in our lives where we get some bad news. Anybody get bad news? I mean bad news. I don't mean cars out of gas news or got a flat tire news. We've all had that. I'm talking about bad news. You get that report from the doctor, right? Not the report you want. What are you going to do with that report? I don't know what I'm going to do with that report. I don't even know if I want to share it with anybody. And then you get, 6 months later, another one, all clear. There wasn't anything quiet about that note. No! A friend or loved one who's sick and in trouble, and then God miraculously does something to bring them healing, you leap and you jump and you praise God. That's exactly, by the way, what happened with Brother John this week. Did you guys get his email? That was a leaping and jumping and praising God moment. His twin brother passed away, been fighting cancer for a long time. Brother in the Lord. And he is crying on the phone as he's talking to me about it, saying, we're just praising God. And so we have this need for a Savior, but people don't even know why. They don't know what that Savior might be. And the man was doing what he would do. I mean, what would you do back then if you're poor? What would you do back then if you're lame? You're going to probably beg. It's probably what you're going to do. That's all he knew. But Peter knew better. But there's a search for a Savior, and so that's what this man's doing. He's looking out for the wrong things. He's looking for whatever he could to help his present condition. It is important that we care for those around us. It is important that we give, not so that we get given back in return. People that are in need, we reach out. That's what Jesus would do. But they need Christ as their Savior. That's what they need. People are looking, though, for things that they really don't need. The Jews here in the story, this whole crowd, hey, this group was around just, let's go back a year, way before the crucifixion, okay? They were looking for a Messiah. They're all excited about this Jesus from Nazareth, except they found out that he wasn't going to be that military political Messiah they were looking for to kick Rome out. He was going to be the Savior of the world who would confront them with their sin and their need for Christ. That was their biggest need. Do you think what? And he went right back. Well, what you want. His face is on that coin. Fine, give it to him. Y'all complain about taxes like I do sometimes. He said, just pay them their taxes, but give to God what is God's. He is telling us, helping us with our greatest need. That's a Savior. We need a Savior. But these Jews in the story here were still looking for something else. They were looking for somebody else, and they weren't looking for the right Messiah. The religious leaders here, the Sadducees, they were looking for power. They wanted control of the people. If they lost control, they lost their livelihood, and they didn't want to do that and their influence. The lame man, he's looking for some money, probably. The guy's just looking to survive. I get it. We're not throwing rocks at the lame man. The guy needs help. But that's not his greatest need. But people are looking for things, and they're missing their greatest need. I remember years ago, this particular actress, some of you might remember Shirley MacLaine, when she came out and ran on the beach, running up and down, proclaiming, I am God, I am God, I am God. And she wrote several books, became a follower of the New Age movement, which is nothing new about it. It's old mysticism, making yourself the center of the universe, becoming like God. Or actually, she said she was God herself. I'll be leaving for Mongolia here soon, and going there, I can tell you that those people, their greatest need is Jesus Christ. Now, it's amazing how God, what he's done since 1991, according to statisticians, I'm just going over what, these are secular guys that have come in and evaluated the country. You got to remember, they did not have any gospel there. There was supposedly one believer. I always want to meet this guy. I said, how do you know there's one guy? How did you meet the guy? Anyway, one guy, 1991. Today, they say there's over 25,000 Christians. That's a good start. We got a long way to go. We got a long ways to go here. And I'm telling you what, they are influenced and they are pulled by Buddhism and shamanism big time. Even the Christians in the church struggle with this. They have a hard time. And before we throw rocks, I think you should listen or hear what Brian said in his lesson this morning. We all have idols in our hearts. And they struggle. I'll tell you one story. So this is a Christian lady saved, baptized in the Mongolian church under some great preaching, and her child got sick. Now, come on, if your child is really bad sick, don't tell me you wouldn't do anything for them, right? You would. You'd sacrifice all you could legally to help them, and maybe even illegally, whatever you could do to help your child. Well, she knew that she was needed to go to God. But she had grown up in a Buddhist life, and her family was still that way, and she was trying to get away from that as she's getting taught. So she goes to the pastor, and the pastor is the one telling me this story. And she comes, and she gets a prayer. He prays for the child. The child is really seriously ill. Brings him in, prays over it. And she immediately leaves there, and she goes straight to the shaman. Figured I'm going to cover all her bases. Yeah, people are reaching for a savior. They need a savior. They need something and somebody. Now, we're more sophisticated here in America. Yeah. Our savior is science. You know, let the scientists figure it out. Of course, we know science is never wrong, right? Yeah, or we've decided to follow the New Age philosophy. We make ourselves God. Like you, I get really tired of hearing it over and over again of how we could become whatever we want to be. We can't be anything if we don't have Jesus. Not of long-term value. But in America, of course, we're good at our idolatry. We're good at hiding it, but not so much anymore, right? It's starting to show its ugly face more and more and more and more. Materialism and all kinds of isms we have. These people are looking for a savior. People are all around looking for a savior. We got people with broken marriages that are looking for a savior to save their marriage. We got people that are coming and screaming and saying, please help, please help. Oh, but this guy, he really loves me. Or this girl, she really loves me. And they're reaching and they're trying to find a savior, but they're missing Jesus. So, I got to tell you the truth, though. A little concerned for our friend, our lame guy and the Sadducees here, at the beginning at least here. We don't want any old savior. Okay? You don't want any old savior. You want someone that can do something about your situation. So I want the right Savior. I want the Savior who's knowledgeable. Peter told the layman, he says, I don't have what you're asking for. He knew it. He was a self-aware man. He said, I'm not going to peddle you something and try to get you to give me something in return. That's not what you need. Peter was knowledgeable enough to know that the silver and the gold and all the things he thought he needed wasn't his main problem. A deeper problem. It was his heart. He didn't know Christ. And so he said, I've got something better. I've got a savior who knows. He knows. By the way, I'm speaking to you now. He knows your problem. I got a savior who knows your need. I got a savior who can walk with you. I got a savior who has an understanding of your past, your present. So we have this whole thing about a knowledgeable Savior. I got to tell you, I had a great earthly father. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven again. He's pastor for years and a great man. He wasn't perfect. My dad had a toolkit with two things in it. A screwdriver and a hammer. And he about fixed anything with those two things, or thought he did. So when something, I learned early on, even as a young child, by the way, that if something was broke, don't take it to Dad. Dad was all excited about fixing it, and he pulled his toolkit out and pulled out the hammer, pulled out the screwdriver, and said, we're going to fix this thing. And he would take that thing apart to pieces, but he had no idea how to put it back together. So here's my Rudy the Robot. Anybody remember Rudy the Robot? What? All right, thanks, Les. All right. You got to look up Rudy the Robot. You didn't have the Tin Man 2? Come on now. All right, well, you got to pay attention. So anyway, he took Rudy apart. He didn't look like a robot. And I had to get my oldest brother, who was probably at the time just 14. He said, I'll take care of it. He put it all back together, and it worked. I mean, when you have a problem that needs fixing, don't you want someone who's knowledgeable? Do you want to go to a doctor who says, well, I have no idea what to do about that broken arm. Sorry, but here's an aspirin. No, you want someone who's knowledgeable. And so Peter realizes, hey, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the one idea what to do with you, except I know someone who does. I'm connected. And so we have this whole idea where you want somebody who can help you. Isaiah says this in chapter 46, remember the 40 things of old. I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. We want that kind of a savior, that kind of a God. So we need a savior who's knowledgeable. I don't know about you, but I like to know people who know what they're doing when I need help. And if you've been in a situation recently where you needed help, I bet you're real glad the people there were knowledgeable on what to do. Give praise to God for that, because God gives knowledge to all men. But you don't just want to know guys who's smart, right? We got a lot of smart people. We got a lot of smart people. We want a savior who's able. I want somebody able to do it. Oh, I might be able to do the math for you, but I may not be able to really apply it to really solve your problem. So we need somebody who's able to fix my problem and will come alongside me and help us with that. There was a friend of ours in Danville who was, I think he was 14. I might get the age wrong, but it seemed like he was in high school. He was like a freshman, I believe. He was just in PE, healthy as boys could be. Running laps, you know. You know how much you guys love to run laps, right? You remember all that stuff? Yeah, everybody loved to run laps. I'm getting no amens from anyone out here. All right. And so it's one of those combined classes, because if it was like when I taught physical education back in the 80s, you know, they give us three classes of 30-some students each. You got almost 100 kids. So there's this huge breeze going by while I'm standing there making sure they're not killing each other. And there they go. They're running, and all of a sudden, bam, he collapsed. Boom. And I don't mean tripped and fall. It was one of those, he's gone. He's gone. Hits the floor, and everybody is like, nobody. Well, there's some people who are able to respond in those situations. So they run and try to figure out and try to talk to him and see if, are you, no response. Starting to change color. But there was somebody there. Somebody who knew what was going on. The school nurse. God bless our first responders. Amen. They had one of those AED machines. She ran. Nobody had to tell her what to do. She was knowledgeable, but she was able. She was knowledgeable of the problem, but she just said, well, this is his problem, and this is what needs to happen. I'll see you later. No, she was able. She ran and got that thing and put it on him and saved that young boy's life. They helicoptered him to the children's hospital, and he is a strong young man today because somebody was not just knowledgeable, they were able. Listen, you don't want just smart people. You want someone who's able to really help your real problem, not the one you think you have, the problem that's down in here. There's a Savior who can do that. Peter knew it. He said, I'm not the guy, but I know a guy. I want to introduce you to him. So we have this from Ephesians, even 3:20, where it says, now to him who is able, y'all with me today? Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power. No, I need a savior. We need a savior. We already know that. This world's falling apart. Communities are falling apart. People are falling apart. Struggling. We need a savior. That's even the people that don't know Jesus know we need something. The world's spiraling away. We need someone who's knowledgeable. We need someone who's able. But there's one more very important thing. Don't miss it. Peter said this, I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, but what I do have, what? I give to you. We need a Savior who is not just knowledgeable and not just able. There's one more thing. We need a Savior who's willing. We need someone who's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. We need someone who's willing to take the scars that are ours, that we deserve, the beatings we deserve, the nails we deserved. We need a Savior who's willing to be our Savior. Matthew chapter 8, you don't have to turn there. There was a leper that came to him. He knelt before Jesus, and this is what he said, Lord, if you will. If you will, Lord, you can make me clean. If you will, Lord, I know you can do it. If you will, I know you're knowledgeable. I know you're able, but are you willing to make this happen? And Jesus said, told him to stretch out his hand. He said, be clean. You got it. You got it. You understand it. Peter says this in his second letter, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. The Lord is willing. The Lord is willing. If you're here today, this is the whole idea. This is the whole idea. The Lord is willing to help you in your need. The Lord is willing. He's knowledgeable, able, and willing right now to meet you where you're at. I just want to keep on with this now, back to Acts 4, so we can put a bookend on this. So in chapter, we already said, they asked the question, these Sadducees, by what power or by what name did you do this? And I love this. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that, here it comes, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, let this man, by him this man is standing before you, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which have become the cornerstone, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except the name of the world. And he's your Savior today. Now there's people here today that say, well, Pastor, thank you. But I've been saved a long time. And I will tell you this, my friend. You still need a Savior. One that you walk with. One that you talk with. One that guides you through the storms of life that are always around us. Every once in a while, we get the clear blue sky and the seas that are smooth. And we take a breath just knowing ahead there's a storm brewing somewhere. And they come out of nowhere. And Jesus, our Savior, is with us in the storm. We have an amazing Savior. He knows our every need. He understands. And He has the ability to meet us at our need. And He is willing to do it. So then what happens here? What do we do moving forward? We trust in Him. We willingly say, Lord, I'm coming to You. You already know my problem. You're God. But I humbly come to You. And I ask, and You lay it out before Him. And You say to Him every time, nevertheless. Are you seriously willing to pray that? Because there will come a time in your life where that's the prayer that's going to be the hardest to pray. A loved one laying in a hospital bed. Are you really willing to say, Lord God, we have not just a knowledgeable, able, and willing Savior. We have a great, loving Savior who will do exactly what is needed. It may not be the prayer we pray, but it's the best result for His glory. How are we going to turn things around in our community, in our families, in our church? By going to this great Savior, the one who gave Himself for you and me, so that we can have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? In a moment, we're going to sing an old hymn of the faith. Your heads bowed. Just take a moment here to reflect. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe there's someone here and that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Peter and John, if they were here today, they would say the same message. I don't have a lot, but I got something you really need. And they would offer you the name of Jesus Christ. I offer that to you today as someone who's a sinner saved by grace. There's nothing perfect about me except Jesus. That's it. But that Savior saved my soul. He could do the same for you today. If you need Jesus Christ in your life, have the complete assurance God is your Savior. You can do that now. You don't need me. You already have Him. You might ask, what do I do, Pastor? Well, let me lead you in a prayer. Now, words don't save. The heart, faith saves. Words are expression of our faith. But you can say this simple prayer to God between you and Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your great love displayed to me by the sending of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin. I confess, Lord, I am a sinner. Only You can save me. Thank You, Father, for raising Christ from the dead. I place my faith in You, Lord Jesus, alone. Save me. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, the great Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, has now adopted you into His forever family. Welcome to the family. Christian, for you today, maybe it's time we go roll back a little bit and take a look at the Savior we trusted in years ago and ask him, that great Savior, what are we doing with this message? Maybe for us, the prayer is, Lord God, help me to be a Peter and John. We may not have much, except that's really not true. We have the greatest thing that people need. Maybe it's a recommitment for you and me this morning to be like Peter and John, be aware of what's around us, to see the lame people all around us, the people God puts in our lives, and certainly help them in their need, but give them what they really need. May God help you and I to be witnesses for him and to give them Jesus. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you, we humble ourselves. We realize that I don't think we think about your greatness very often. Even in Sunday school, it was brought out how holy and majestic and wonderful you are. And we get ourselves in trouble when we don't think and recognize that and we think too highly of ourselves. And Lord God, I just pray that you will help us even now to realize your love and your greatness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. And that people here will get a fresh awareness, perspective, and a filling from the Holy Spirit, who's always with us. But Lord, we resist oftentimes. And I would pray, Lord God, but not today. Not today. We thank you for your love, and I pray that as we move from here, we will be motivated as Peter and John. And if there's one thing I could pray for all of us, Lord, I'd really like to see all of us experience at least once and soon someone leaping and jumping and praising God because they've just trusted Christ. Give us that privilege, we pray. In Jesus' name, our great Savior, amen. Would you stand?